Inna alhamdulillah.
Indeed, all praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nahmaduhu. That's why we praise Allah. That's why you are here on time, as a praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa nasta'inuhu. And that is why we ask Allah for help. So if you could start today's bayan khutbah with three words. Oh Allah, I praise you. Oh Allah, we ask you for help. And as a deserving right, I say Alhamdulillah, you say Alhamdulillah, you feel it too. You're like, wow, Allah is wonderful. You have then the right, once you acknowledge that He's wonderful, you can ask Him for things. But what is the greatest thing you could ask Allah for? Because I asked Shaykh for the time and for the schedule. I asked him. But what can you only ask Allah that no one else can give you? Maghfirah, forgiveness. Except most of us think maghfirah is like saying sorry, right? But that's kind of like, that's a little weak. So if I came here and I broke a hole in the wall, and then I came up to Sheikh and said, I'm sorry, and then I left, that's what we call American sorry, right? It does nothing. It's just, I'm really sorry, I broke a hole in your wall. Except maghfirah. If I were to say, Astaghfirullah, I broke a hole in your wall. What would that be? That's the equivalent when I go to Allah and said, oh Allah, I broke a hole in the wall. Allah, when He accepts my Astaghfirullah, what does that mean? That Allah sent a carpenter who cut a hole out of the wall, who put new sheetrock, who sanded it, who painted it, and put the exact thing back. So that when you come back and you tell your friend, you know, one day I broke a hole in the wall, Allah makes it like it never happened. So if you could say, Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I praise you. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. I only ask for your help. And the greatest isti'ana to ask from Allah is astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, except, if I am correct, astaghfirullah has a negative connotation. In America, if you go in a large crowd and you tell some young person, say astaghfirullah. This happened in my khutbah once. I said, young man, say astaghfirullah. And what did he turn to me and say? Astaghfirullah. And I said, excuse me? He said, astaghfirullah. And I said, why do you say it like that? And can anyone tell me why a 13-year-old would say, astaghfirullah? Because I said, my love, why do you say it like that? He goes, that's the only time I hear it. Someone pointing at someone else and going, astaghfirullah. Which, of course, I'm not pointing at you. But this is the natural reaction that a 13-year-old grows up with. So if today, before we open Surah Fatiha and its barakah, we say, alhamdulillah, that we say, oh Allah, I ask for your help. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ. And we ask Allah from last Friday to this Friday, Allah, astaghfirullah. I did do something wrong. What are you hiding from Allah? Oh Allah, I did do this mistake. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And oh Allah, make it like there's never a hole. I don't want to take the whole khutbah or our whole bayan to say this, but if you could start saying astaghfirullah 6 times, in just within yourself, except today think about your astaghfirullah. Because when I say, wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi, what do I mean? I mean, oh Allah, I ask for your forgiveness, and do you accept Allah's forgiveness? I don't think so. I think most people in this room go, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Brother, did Allah forgive you? I don't know. The people in Las Vegas have a better assurance of their lottery ticket than the Muslims of today. When you say, does your astaghfirullah count? Astaghfirullah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's so, it's not fair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah compared to your sin? Because everyone is sitting saying, oh yaar, you don't know what I did yesterday. You don't know what I saw on the internet. Oh, you don't know where I was last night. But you don't know how merciful Allah is. You know nothing. You are qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. You know less than the angels. So when Allah says, you were created and you're going to make mistakes, every time you make a mistake, just say astaghfirullah. Now some part of your brain is saying, so does that mean I could do haram all the time and drink alcohol and go to the club? MashaAllah, that's a great idea. Go ahead and do that though. Go there, and I will tell you from the corners when I would pick up people from the bar, and I would say, but are you happy now? No, Sheikh, I'm sorry. No, don't tell me sorry. Go drink more. But until you find ham, don't tell me this is something good. So when we say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, then challenge yourself. Maybe I'll listen to music the whole day. You will. Except at the end, no ham. You'll feel empty. And then what will you come back to again? Astaghfirullah. The only thing that will fill you is this istighfar. So I ask you today, I will return to this six astaghfirullah. I will say it once for you. Astaghfirullah, does Allah hear me? Yes, He does. Astaghfirullah, did Allah just forgive me? Astaghfirullah, yes, He did. If Allah forgave me, who must I begin to forgive? Astaghfirullah. I got to speak, the guy who cut me off today on the road, the person who said, the TSA worker, excuse me, the customs person who made some face at me. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Some imam who told me I was going to Jahannam. Astaghfirullah. Let it go. Just let it go. Right now, in your Jummah beginning, just let go of something. Wasn't there some old school teacher who said you were a bad you were a bad kid? Say astaghfirullah. Just let it go. Astaghfirullah. That's all it takes, right? At one moment, some teacher, I don't understand if you all can. When I was little, some teacher told me I was black. I was kala. And this bothered me when I was little, except I grew into my color and I became very happy. And I became very fulfilled with who I was. But as a child, I walked around going, I'm a kala bacha. And I kept saying, I'm this black kid, I'm black, oh, I'm wrong, there's something wrong with me. And all I had to do one day was say, astaghfirullah. I let go of the people who said that to me. I let go of that thought, astaghfirullah. That's only three. But if Allah heard me, Allah forgave me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then allowed me to forgive everyone around me, little by little, who else needs forgiveness? If I forgave everybody, if Usman forgives everyone in this room, who does Usman need to forgive? Of course, right? He needs to forgive himself. And I believe that every man in this room has missed Fajr once in his life. And when you miss Fajr, what did you do for the rest of the day? Astaghfirullah. You dragged yourself, and then someone said, brother, come to the masjid. No, I missed Fajr. You almost made shaitan win. Do you get it? If you miss one thing and you do one mistake, and you don't say astaghfirullah and forgive yourself, what will shaitan do? All day he will be playing a pungi. Oh, you're so bad. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. This idea that you can't forgive yourself, I want you to remember, if Allah Azza wa Jal forgave you, and I'm going to point at you, who are you? Who are you to say, oh no, I'm a sinner? Astaghfirullah. Even that thought that, oh no, Allah forgave me, but I'm a sinner. Astaghfirullah. That's very dangerous. So once you accept on the fourth, astaghfirullah. 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 Ya Allah. Why should I hold things against myself? And please, just one sentence so you can open your mind. If you forgive yourself, are you more likely to do good deeds? Yeah, of course. If you sit going, oh, my house is in interest. I listened to Gana Bajana. I did this. I did this. In my old years, I did this. Then are you going to do anything good? No, you're going to sit there going, astaghfirullah. Except that is a shallow, empty astaghfirullah, which was some type of scratch-off lottery ticket. Maybe Allah will forgive me. Astaghfirullah to that idea. Every single time you scratch off that ticket of astaghfirullah, of course Allah forgives you. But do you forgive? Give yourself. And in the fifth astaghfirullah, I will conclude here. The whole khutbah will become istighfar. How do you forgive yourself, brothers and sisters? No one. I could stand here for 12 more minutes. None of you would answer. If I said, how can you forgive yourself? Do you have no answer? I understand that. Because we are never taught to love ourselves. We are never taught that this is لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I am a miracle of Allah. I don't think you understand this. An atheist girl came to me, she looked at me, she goes, how do you know there's a God? What proof do you have that there is an Allah and a God? And then I just looked at her. And I said, well, you are. You are my proof that a God exists. And she goes, no, no, I won't be your proof that God exists. So then I said, I am the greatest proof. Wissam Ahmed Sharif to me is the greatest proof that Allah exists. I know that because I exist. And I wish to throw a thought in your head. In order to become Muslim, do you say, Allah, I do testify He is God? Do you say Allah's name first or do you say you first? Think about this again. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Who comes first in this sentence? Ashhadu, O Allah. So then think about that. Allah is real if all of us in this room get up on one foot and say, no Allah, there's no Allah. Allah will go away. But if every one of us said, if Allah said, you're not real, you don't exist. Except one more thing has to happen. I have to say I am insan. If I never say I am insan, an insan, human being, has the ability to forget and to remember, and to remember which conversation. And I give you one question to de-intellectualize your brain. Everyone comes to Jummah Khutbah with lots of thoughts. Lots of thoughts. So I ask you one question. Did you ever meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And your body will say, no, I never met Allah. Your brain will say, with the right drugs, maybe I could talk to some voice in my head. But no, you have never met Allah. Except, and it's fun, it's fair to say, yeah, you met some guy who's like, yeah, bro, I talked to God yesterday. Maybe he took the right medicine. But we take this medicine and say, yes. Did everyone in this room, not just Imam Saab, not just the guy with the beard, everyone in this room who prayed Fajr, who didn't pray Fajr, did you all meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Stop. Ask yourself this question. And I believe, nasiya, you forgot, but I want to remind you, وَذَكِّرْ بِهِ أَن تُبْسَلْ. I want to remind you before nafs, before your nafs destroys you. Did you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did God once say to you, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Did God create LeBron James and your parliamentarians and your football players and every human being in the universe and say, Alastu bi Rabbikum? Did Allah Azza wa Jal make everyone and say, am I your Lord? Did we answer this question? You all were there? You were sleeping. No, you were there. I was there. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. And when my Nabi was asked, Alastu bi Rabbikum? What did you say? What did I say? Qalu bala. We didn't just say, oh Allah, yes. We said, of course, bala. When you don't just say na'am, yes Allah, yes. If Allah Azza wa Jal is standing there and you are in your nafsi form, you're going to say, Allah, who else is Allah? And then after bala, what did you say? Qalu bala shahidna. We said, oh Allah, you're asking me? I swear. Shahidna. Can someone tell me, what did we testify on? We didn't say wallahi, we said shahidna. Allah, my existence is the fact that you are my Lord. I'm alive, you are my God. Do y'all remember Allah? I remember Allah, definitely do. Except shaitan is playing his pungi, telling you, oh, you missed Fajr, you did this. Turn the conversation around. If you remember that you met Allah, wouldn't you wake up for Fajr? Of course. And it would be hard. In the beginning it would be hard, but then you'd be like, I'm coming. I'm coming, ya Allah. So all I ask from us is six astaghfirullahs. I didn't tell you what the sixth one was for, but in the fifth astaghfirullah, allow yourself to have joy. Everyone will eat lunch. No one should be fasting. Today is Friday. When you put the first bite of food in your mouth, can you say, astaghfirullah? Because astaghfirullah cannot have a negative connotation. Because then rahmah would be negative. Mercy would be negative. I'm going to ask you one trick question, and I hope you can think outside of the box. On the Day of Judgment, we all believe, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abdu wa rasul. I believe that God on the Day of Judgment will show me all my deeds. Right? You believe that too, right? When God finishes judging me, hakamul adl, will I feel judged? Take a second. When God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, finishes my hisab, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينٍ بِشِمَالٍ, and I get my book, will Wissam feel judged by Allah? I don't think so. Allah is so beautiful. You have to understand, when I judge you, there's some ego transfer, right? Brother, you didn't do this. I did this. See that transfer? But when Allah tells you you did something wrong, is there a transfer? No. So everyone's so afraid of hisab, hisab. No. I believe Allah will show you the entire hisab in moving real-time action. Like imagine 50 trillion screens every second of your life. Could Allah do this? Make one screen for every second of your life and then show it all to you. And then say, fair? Yeah, that's what you would do. You wouldn't say, oh Allah, that wasn't right, this wasn't right. It's Allah. So are you afraid of hisab? I hope not. Because your hisab is done. Your subconscious is here. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم. Remember the Matrix movie when Neo's mouth gets covered and his body parts start to talk? Body parts are going to talk. My subconscious database is right here. Terabytes and terabytes of storage is right here. My cellular, I have 50 trillion cells in my body. 50 trillion. Each one of them has the recording capability of 200 terabytes. That's an estimate. Each cell, and I have 50 trillion cells that get turned over constantly. You mean to tell me God can't pull in a USB and go do 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 do? No, of course, H&R Block can do that. Your tax service can do that. My phone can do that. You know, Allah. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. So all I ask us to do is return to that memory. And can I ask anyone, do you have a bad memory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you have a memory of a God who was overpowering and towering over you? I do not think so. I will sit on the first khutbah with one simple thought. I don't know if in the UK you discuss this, but the mu'min discusses maut, death, a lot, right? We talk about death. You all understand that people have had near-death experiences. People will die in the hospital. I work in the hospital, so I've seen a patient. I was setting him up for a chest x-ray in his bed, and I put the disc behind him, the film disc, and I shot, and there was pleural infusion. His lungs went... and his stomach filled with all that. So in front of me, he died. And this was very, like, it shook me. It was a very overwhelming experience. Except, do you all know that people die clinically for a long time and then they come back? You all have heard this concept? Near death, it's okay in the khutbah to not. Okay, so if you've heard of this concept, over 2,000 cases have been documented of people going and coming, going and coming. None of them have been Muslim. Many of them Christians, Jews. And do you know that over 200 cases of these 2,000 are people who killed themselves? So what would you say? Jahannam. They must be going to hell. Those suicide people. Except in 2,000 cases, 2,000 people narrated that they left their body, they saw their body, they went to some light, and does anyone know what happened then? They all said, we were asked a series of questions. Now I know you know the hadith, but it wasn't man rabbuk, it was what is your purpose? Who is your Lord? But here's the amazing part, they all had questions asked to them, they all said, they all narrate this, and you can find the book, it's a wonderful book called Life After Life. They all narrated that they went into a tunnel and they came out. And then when they came out, they could see their entire life in front of them. Every single second, and these are normal people saying, we could see every second separately, but then all at once. And I was like, this is not happening. This can't be real. And for those of you who don't read books, type Life After Life into YouTube. It's a 50-minute documentary. Except from the astrophysicists to the 20 doctors to the lady who shot herself in the chest, all of them described what? Light. All of them described pure love. All of them said, we would give up 20, and I'm quoting verbatim from the book, we would give up 20 of these lifetimes to be back with the light. Except there's one more thing they all said. that they were asked by the whatever's back there, do you want to go back? And they said, no, we don't want to go back. We want to stay with you. But here's my thing, in 2,000 cases, all of them said pure love, nurun ala nur. All of them described what we know. How many of them described hell? How many of them said there was this dark, horrible place where we kind of saw it off in the background and the light kept taunting us with it? How many? Zero. 2,000 people, amongst whom killed themselves, described Allah as light, as pure love, as acceptance. Except the Islam that we run behind has no acceptance. It's almost as if there's nothing I can do to be a good enough Muslim. But to be an abd of Allah, I have to keep doing bad things, and it makes me a better slave of Allah. I request that you think about this between the first talk that you hear. For what I say in Arabic will be the same exact thing, except somehow now you remember Allah. So if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, and some of you are just walking in and saying, why is everyone so quiet? Say astaghfirullah 6 times. Astaghfirullah, 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 and astaghfirullah. I ask for God's forgiveness. I accepted God's forgiveness. That's it.
That's it.
That's how many licks it takes to get to the middle of this Tootsie Roll. Astaghfirullah. And did God hear me? You better believe it. And did he accept it? What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't he accept it? Fir'aun! You don't remember this narration, but it will take my time. Do you all remember when two employees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, they're both having a conversation. They both work for Allah. I think it's fair to say that. Jibreel alayhi salam says to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had to be there when I was stuffing mud in the mouth of Fir'aun. Work with me, friends. Watch the movie. I was stuffing mud in the mouth of Fir'aun. So Jibreel alayhi salam is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a story about a long time ago. So imagine many years of revelation. There's almost like a friendship. I'm the angel who brings you endless revelation. And so Muhammad, you had to be there. I was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stuffing mud in the mouth of Fir'aun, lest. Why was he stuffing mud in the mouth of Fir'aun? Because Fir'aun was saying, Rabbi Musa wa Harun. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Now I know you all are watching this part, except no one read the end of that hadith. Because Jibreel says, alayhi salatu wasalam, says to Muhammad Rasulullah, what does he say? The angel is saying, I was stuffing mud in the mouth of Pharaoh because he was saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then what does Jibreel alayhi salam say? You know Allah. You know Allah. Do you get that? An angel is afraid of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's so great. So I will ask all of us. If we took all the shame, naughty, dirty things that we've all done and we put them together, is it greater than Fir'aun? Like hell no, I think you don't understand. Like literally hell no. The equivalent of Jahannam no. I don't think you guys get how bad Fir'aun was. Allah put a lot of energy into that, friends. Allah spent 2/3 of the Quran telling you the story of Fir'aun. I'll ask that question once again. If we took all of our sins and we brought it together and compared it to the sin of Fir'aun, less or more? Of course, Fir'aun is greater. So if Allah could forgive, would have forgiven Fir'aun, where do you fall? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Now get past that astaghfirullah and forgive the people around you. Get past that astaghfirullah, forgive yourself. Get past that astaghfirullah and begin to have joy in your life. Have happiness in your life. Have hamd in your life. And hamd doesn't come from alhamdulillah, mashallah, inshallah. Hamd comes from I look fantastic. When you looked in the mirror this morning, you said mashallah. And that's hamd. That's really feeling praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not some generic mashallah, tabarakallah, that doesn't fit. All I ask from you is if you're going to use the lingo of Allah, Then live like you have the lingo of Allah. If I'm going to wear a chain and spin it and have baggy pants and walk around very humbly, you're going to be like, ah, that doesn't fit the part. If you're going to act like a superhero, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, then walk around like a superhero and carry the banner of La ilaha illallah like a superhero. I took permission from one of the brothers. I hope you can understand this one concept. I live in a different place of the world now. I live in a different place of the world now where our president is a game of cards. It's a Trump. So if you play Trump, you know it's a game of chance. All I ask you is for this. Trump is a game. It's a card game. Okay. There is a chance for you to win and there's a chance for you to lose. While Trump is president, and I know he's not yours, alhamdulillah. While he is, I want you to know that everything in Islam is 10 times bonus. So if before Trump you said assalamu alaikum and you were polite and clean and proud to be Muslim, if you do anything, 10 times more. I'm going to try this. You guys remember Super Mario Brothers, the video game when you were little? Yes. Remember that one level you could run through the level touching the coins? Ding, ding, ding. Yes? No? Maybe. Okay, it's a game. And it's an extra, you get extra. This is that time. Any sunnah you pray, any nawafil you do, 100 times more. Why? Abu Lahab is president. I mean, you gotta imagine, there's a lot going on. Can you, I wish just to appeal to your brain one more time, because Surah Fatiha never got touched. I will recite Surah Fatiha in our khutbah. Can you all imagine though, just for this one moment, if you lived during the time of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, so you all are Sahaba, and there was no Abu Lahab, there's no bad guy, hence there's no superhero. There has never been a bad guy for Islam for a long time. They've kind of been like Bush, mashallah, rahmatullah alayhi, man. We make dua for him now. We miss him now. But even he wasn't your clear enemy, right? There wasn't just someone who was screaming Muslim terrorist. By the way, keep fixing the tajweed. It's Muslim. An FBI agent said, how can I be more appealing to Muslims? I said, smile, sir. He said, what do you mean? I said, say Muslim. And then he said, what do you mean? I said, say Muslim. And he goes, but Islam. I said, say Islam. So what do I request? Anytime someone looks at you and goes, Muslim, say Muslim? It forces you to smile. And they'll get a good chuckle out of it. And khalas, that's it. That's all it takes. Muslim doesn't mean anything in any language. Khalas. I come back to my point. If you were a Sahabi and there was no bad guy, what would you do? Can we all just stop for a second between Brexit and all the ridiculous stuff that's happening here? Can we stop and say, oh Allah, we're famous. All of a sudden, Sunnah, Quran, Hadith, looking like this, friends, it feels great. It feels, it's not a sunnah anymore. I'm not chasing a thing. It makes me feel like, yeah. Before 9/11, we used to pray differently, friends. Before Trump, I used to pray in the airport very quiet. Now, actually, I prayed yesterday, and I said, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. I stopped. I looked around. I announced, Salatul Fajr. Anyone want to pray? And I waited. And someone came and prayed. But there is no more fear anymore. I'm the superhero, and so are you. It's your chance. You don't have to dress the part. The cape is heavy. But if you want to carry this deen, carry the seven treasures of Surah Fatiha. Learn it. People come to me all the time. You believe in Allah? And I say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the source of mercy, love? Yeah. I do. And they say, can you read some Quran to me? And all I ask is that every mu'min memorizes, internalizes, and like a button can press play and say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And so many times I have finished that, and you know what the non-Muslim crowd says? Ameen. Or they'll say Amen or something. And most of them will stop and say, what happened? What song were you singing? And I'll say, I'll ask the question, did it sound like a song? No, sir. No, sir, it didn't. No, Father. I'm an angel, Father. Just hang on there. But if every mu'min can carry this torch, every mu'min can remember, I met God, and so did you. And so when the TSA, excuse me, I keep saying that, the customs officer said, what do you talk about? I said, I'm going to be talking about the fact that I might live next to you in paradise. So I better get along with you now. Next time you meet someone, it's Islam, terrorism, anger. I want you to think about these seven treasures of Surah Fatiha. Khutbah maybe took a little bit of a different turn, but I wanted you to be able to take this confidence home. I wanted you to take a confidence that you can recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be somebody's miracle. How many people in this room would like to enter paradise? Of course. It's not a donation, don't worry. And everyone. Sorry, friends. But here's the tricky part. My friend over here wants to go to heaven, and I know that. Except, and everyone's looking at him. Okay, so you want to go to heaven too, except you don't want to become someone's heaven. You want khalidina fiha abada, abada, abada. Except your wife, you don't want to become her Jannah. Your kids, you don't want to become their Jannah. The guy who asks you for something, you don't know if what he is asking is his paradise. So all I request in the khutbah as my time now ends, be someone's Jannah today. Say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah. Oh Allah, I ask for paradise. And just like Astaghfirullah was heard, was this dua heard? You better believe it. Y'all are scared like, nay, mera nahi hota. Don't do that. Why are you, you're stuck here like, no. I'm really going to hell. It's like, what are you, addicted to that feeling? You don't want to feel forgiveness. And why not? Because if this brother felt like he was going to heaven, he would smile. He would be happy. He would give up his spot. He'd be like, okay, you go ahead. And you don't like that because it hurts your ego. Except your ego's not going to heaven, honey. You are. My request, become someone's Jannah today. Become someone's Jannah. Your wife asks you something preposterous. I don't know if you all have garages the same way. We have dirty, huge garages in Texas. And every time your wife looks at your face, she will say, clean the garage. And you'll say, inshallah. And then she'll say, let's go for Hajj. And I'm like, that's probably going to happen first. Garage will happen second. Do that thing, that one thing that's impossible, become her Jannah. And to my sisters who hear the voice, do that one thing that your husband's like, oh, you never do this. Do it. Because you can be someone else's miracle. My request for the children who are here, the children who are here, if you don't understand a lot of the khutbah, say subhanallah. Every time everyone's like nodding their head, you say subhanallah too. Between the sittings of the khutbah, so when I'm giving the Arabic portion, I will stand, I will say ayahs, hadith, and a lot of the words that you're hearing now in Arabic, and then I will sit. Between the sitting of the khutbah, dua is not rejected. I know it's a suggested narration, a little bit weaker, but still, between the sittings of the khutbah, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think I understood what this guy said. Because you didn't have to pray Fajr this morning to talk to God. Pharaoh did, right before he was going to die. You could talk to Allah now and say, I want to be a miracle. I want to be someone's Jannah. I want to recite Surah Fatiha like that guy. I want to have a stereo inside me to press play. Even if I don't do the best actions, I want to stand up for Allah. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens your hearts. There are six things that I request that you open yourself to. So I will say it in the quickest form. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I ask you to sit in a posture to receive salam. The khutbah, because it's being done in Arabic, is like a salah. Would you have me, when the khutbah begins, would you have me pray like this? You want me to pray salat? Alhamdulillah. So when the khutbah, just that ihtaram, that means a lot to the khutbah. Finally, I say unto you five times, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, may peace and blessings be upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, may Allah utilize the sun, the moon, the stars, and the weather to bring salam upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, may salam surround us. May peace surround you in the inspiration to do the right thing. May peace surround you to write down your goals for 2017. 17. Oh Allah, I want to read Quran better. May Allah inspire you to write down your goals and experience synchro destiny, having that dua answered in front of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace and blessings be upon you, around you. May they emanate within your thoughts. May you think salam. May you have salam in yourselves. There are 50 trillion parts of you today that were guided. So today in Surah Fatiha, just think about this logically. When I say, Ihdina siratal mustaqim, how many of us woke up this morning and said, Oh Allah, guide my mitochondria. Oh Allah, guide my cellular. Did you make that dua? You pray for your cellular walls? Ain't nobody pray for their cellular walls. I'm going to say that one more time. I think I've lost your attention. Did anyone wake up this morning and say, Oh Allah, guide my mitochondria? Not at all. So that means 50 trillion parts of you are perfectly guided by who? So then what are you sitting? Oh, guide me, guide me. It's almost irritating, right? It's like, my creation, I guided you. Now go be guided. We're sitting here, oh man, I need guidance. 50 trillion parts of you are already in guidance. Hit cruise control, my love. Hit cruise control and say, Allah, you take it from here. That's what Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim means. When I took a wrong turn to get here, my GPS said take a left. I took a right. When I took a right, what did the GPS do for me? It recalculated. For the love of Allah, you make a mistake in life and you're stuck in a dark alley? Let Allah sort it out. GPS, Allah, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Between the sittings of the khutbah, the dua is never rejected. May there be salam in your cells, salam in the 100 trillion bacteria within your stomach. May your stomach return back to that six. There aren't six packs, there's 12 abdominal muscles. May all 12 abdominal muscles line the cavity the way my Nabi's stomach used to look, the way the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an used to look. May there be salam in your cells, in your gut, and as we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, may there be salam in your genetic code, in the epigenetic markers that are throughout your DNA. May Allah turn on salam. So that 300 generations from now, when Hafiz Saab's kids are sitting and someone says, why are they so well mannered? The child will wake up and say, adab used to be mixed in our milk when we were 300 years ago. 300 years ago, our great-great-great-grandfather said, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Turn on your ability for salam. I believe that they are now sunnah. If you can raise your hands for one moment and ask Allah for guidance, ask Allah to continue to perpetuate that salam which is in you. Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, anta wali fid dunya wal-akhirah, tawaffani tawaffana muslimaw wal-hiqna bis-salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Raditu billahi rabbah wa bil-islami dina wa bi-muhammad النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not pray fajr this morning. Allah does not go for hajj. What is the action that God, the verb God did, does and will always do? And whether I'm at a hookah lounge or whether I'm fighting with my wife or whether I'm doing the best activity, what can I do that Allah azza wa jal did, does and will always do? Inna Allah wa malaikatahu ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. As we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, who is on this train? The train of salawat have left to Muhammad Rasulullah. Whose salawat is on this train? Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina wa habibina wa shafi'ina wa رسولنا محمد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاك الله خيرا. والسلام.